Amen. Thankful for all of our children and all of those that are here today, as well as our adults. I love having children in the house. I love them being part of our service. And we intentionally keep them in here as part of our worship because I believe kids need to know how to worship. Yeah. Amen. They may not be able to ingest everything that we talk about here as adults, but they need to know worship and they need to be a part of the worship. And I don't think you need to wait till you're grown up to learn how to worship or be a part of worship. So we love that. And then, of course, then they go to their classes and are taught on their level a little more of what is, you know, relevant or what they can handle. But I enjoy that. I enjoy the diversity. If you know anything about me, you know I'm a generational preacher. I believe in the generations. I believe we honor our elders. We honor those who have laid foundations for us. And I love the wisdom of the old, and I love the energy of the young. Amen. And boy, when you get that combination together, that's good stuff. Amen. Wisdom and energy together is a good thing. So I'm thankful for that this morning. Amen. You guys are quiet today. We've been talking about the gates of Nehemiah. So if you have not been a part of the series that we've been working on, you can go back into wodchurch.com on our podcast, and you can find every sermon that we've done in this series, all the way back to Nehemiah Builds the Gates and Arise and Build. I feel like the Lord spoke very clearly to me back in the summer when I said, Lord, what do you want me to say in this season? What are you saying in this season? I know what everybody else is saying. I know what social media is saying. I know what the media is saying. I know what the TV is saying. But I want to know what you are saying in this season. And I felt like the Lord said to me, arise and build, out of the book of Nehemiah. And so we've been doing a series on that and talking about the gates of the city and not just gates of a natural Jerusalem or a natural city. How many know there was a natural city, a natural Jerusalem, natural walls that Nehemiah rose up in the time of Babylonian captivity and confusion, and he began to build some things that were sacred and that were precious and that they were powerful. Amen. And so he began to build the gates of the city back that had been destroyed and had been left in ruins under the Babylonian hands. And the name Babylon just means confusion. I mean, we may not be facing Babylon today, but there was a whole lot of confusion in this day and hour of things, just things that are going on. Confusion and some chaos. And I believe in the middle of that, it's not what you say, but what you build that will be eternal, and what you build that will change cultures, that will change mindsets, that will change communities, that will change nations. It's not always what you tear down, but what you build up. Amen. Can somebody say amen? And so I believe there's some things in the natural that need to be built up. Amen. And I believe there's some things in the spirit that need to be built up and to be sure foundations. And I believe that we need to build communities. I believe we need to build people. We need to build honor, and we need to build integrity, and we need to build all of those kind of things. There's a whole lot of ways to build. Amen. And so there's a lot of things that we need to build. And we've talked about the gates of the city. The gates are an entrance into and out of something, right? Close the gate or the cows get out. Open the gate to let the people in or the cows in, right? You got to open the gate or close the gates. How many know there's sometimes that we need to open our gates? And I think that as people and as Christians and a people of God, that our eyes are gates. Our ears are gates. Our mouths are gates. Our heart is a gate. And so I don't know about you, but I closely monitor what I allow in and out of the gates of my city. Somebody say amen. I monitor what my eyes see. I'm careful about what my ears hear. I'm careful about what my mouth allows in and allows out. I'm careful about the gates of my heart. How many of you, I don't open my heart, the gates of my heart, to just anybody. Amen. I open the gates of my heart to my Savior. And there's some things that I don't allow to get into my heart. and what comes out of my heart. How many of the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak? And we talked about this last week, that our mouth has the power of life and death in it. And I hope you understand that what you speak, your words have power. Do you know that today? Your words have power. What you speak to other people, what you speak to yourself, what you speak to God, those words have power. And there's some things that I have to declare and speak over myself even when I don't see it. He's working. Even when I don't feel it, He's working. And you might have to speak that over yourself and say, the facts say, but the truth is. How many know there's a difference between facts and truth? There are some things that may have been spoken over you in the natural or in the physical that might be factual to some, but the truth is that Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am your healer, I am your provider. The fact might be your bank account is empty, but the truth is that Jesus is your source. The fact might be that your body is not coming into alignment by what you believe. But the truth is, the scripture says, by His stripes we were healed. I mean, you know, there's some things that look like fact. But the truth is, I know who the truth is today. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and I am life. Hallelujah. And so I monitor what comes in and out of my gates. Amen. We need to monitor what goes in and out of the gates of our kids. It is a season when technology is everywhere. Resources are everywhere. And in the hands of most people that you know, there is some kind of technology. Can I just tell you this morning, there's a whole lot of time wasted in technology. Now, there's also a lot of things that are powerful tools. Don't get me wrong. Media is a powerful tool. We are live today, live stream, filming what we're doing. And people will be clicking on and seeing what God is saying in this house on a hill right here, right now. That's powerful. I clicked on because I had a message on my tablet popped up real quick. I clicked on and they tagged me in a post in Trinidad. Trinidad is preaching the gospel right now. Amen. And so, and they had tagged me in a post in that because I preached to Trinidad last weekend or so by media, by live stream. We're able to preach to the nations of the world. Hallelujah. I had a prophetic word back a few years ago. It's probably been about 5 or 6 years ago when I came down from just sharing a couple minutes. A man met me and he said, your voice is going to be heard in the nations. And I said, God, how does that? How? What are you saying? And I don't even have to leave this hill this morning for my voice to be heard in the nations. That's powerful. What comes out of our gates is powerful. What we allow to come into. That's why I'm telling you this morning, we need to monitor what goes in and what goes out. Amen? And monitor for our children. There's a lot of time that is wasted time in all of our lives that we spend. And I'm guilty right up there with the rest. Amen? Of sometimes what we can put into our live feed. I mean, you know, there's some things that you need to be putting into your live feed, and there's sometimes it's just, you know, wasted space or wasted time or whatever. There's sometimes I got to clear the clutter out of my mind. Anybody? You got to clear the clutter out of your brain sometimes and just, you know, clean things up a little bit and just say, God, I just need the mind of Christ today. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? I want to think like you think. I want to respond like you respond. I want to respond out of the emotions of who you are and not out of the emotions of me. I've told you before, I pray a prayer all the time. Lord, you're going to have to speak to me louder today than my hormones. I knew I'd get a resounding amen on that one. Yeah. They probably should call them hormones. I don't know, but... But let me just tell you, men have hormones too. Can somebody else say amen? Hallelujah. But sometimes we respond out of our emotions and our emotional state. Anybody in the house besides me this morning? And there's sometimes I got to check myself and check my spirit and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Holy Spirit. Rise up. Be more powerful today in me than any other voice. Let your spirit, your anointing, that fresh anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I believe when the shepherd said that, when David, the psalmist said, he anoints my head with oil. We know that he says that to anoint the sheep's head from the nose flies and the things that would bug the sheep. But I also believe as Christians that he anoints our head with oil, that we think and we speak and we operate out of a place of an anointing. That the anointing, that whatever has to pass through my mind has to first pass through the anointing of the shepherd that he's already applied to my head and to my mind, my will, and my emotions. Amen? And so I want to flow out of the anointing of a shepherd that anoints our head with oil. So last week we talked about the fountain gate. We talked about the importance of water. We talked about the importance of drinking. We talked about the importance of growth. How many know you cannot have growth? You can plant a seed all you want, but without water, it does not produce anything. One of the things I hate to see the most is drought. Amen? I don't like drought. I don't like the absence of water. I'll take a foot of snow over drought. Can somebody say amen? If you know anything about me, you know I'm a snow person too, but we won't go there today. But I don't like the absence of water. I don't like drought. I don't like what it does. And I don't like seeing the potential of something that could be, but for the lack of water, it dies on the vine. Amen? And so, we talked about the woman who was at the well. I mean, Jesus said he passed through Samaria, but he told the disciples, he said, you go on into the city because I have a need today. And my need is to stop in by the Samaritan village, because there's a woman today looking for an encounter with Jesus. And so I got to go sit on her well. And you know, the scripture said that Jesus being wearied from his journey. Now, we don't think about Jesus being weary. Amen? But really, the first part of that scripture talks about he's dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious folk of the day who did not recognize the gift of the Messiah who was amongst them and was really just having dispute over who baptized the most disciples. And Jesus, and the scripture said, and Jesus just being weary with all of that. How many know sometimes you can just get weary with religion and religious discord or religious fighting? How many know we are not in competition with any other church? We're all on the same team. And I don't care about who baptizes more, but what I do care about is there are people in a village that need to encounter Jesus, and that if we'll be obedient to what he is saying, it sometimes just takes a moment for you to go and sit on somebody's well and wait for them to come to you. My dad was an expert at this. They'd go shopping. Dad'd sit on the bench at Gabe's, or he'd sit on the bench at Walmart, or he'd sit on the bench in town, and he'd just wait for somebody to come by, some unsuspecting person, and he was going to tell them about Jesus before he got out of Walmart. Did you all know that Jesus lives at Walmart? He lives at Gabe's. I personally think Gabe's is anointed, but that's another story beside that. But I mean, no, wherever we go, we have opportunity to be a well of water springing up out of our bellies. The scripture said he said to that young woman, he said, if you just knew the moment that has been presented to you, If you knew who it was that was sitting on your well, you would say to her, say to me, give me a drink, and I would give you a drink that would cause you to never thirst again. Not only would it quench your thirst, but it would cause you to be a well springing up. It would cause you to be an artesian well. It would cause you to be bubbling over with life inside of you. And she said, sir, this is not proper protocol. This is not the norm. How would you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, who they considered to be less than, who they considered to be dogs, who the Jewish people had looked down on, how would you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink? And you're a man. Men don't ask women for drink. Women provided the water for the men. And besides that, I like this, you don't have a bucket. Now, a reason I like that is because the creator of all the universe, you know, the guy who breathed breath into man and they became a living soul, hung the stars, the moons with the Father, was there at the creation. She said, sir, you don't have a bucket. Can I just tell you, there's been many times when God was wanting to do things in my life and I couldn't see past it because I couldn't see the bucket. How, Lord, will you ever do this? Because I don't see the bucket. Jesus said, go ahead and ask me. See, I don't need to know how he's going to do it. I just need to know he's going to do it. And he began to speak into her life. And finally, he tells her, without re-preaching that whole sermon, she went back to the village and said, come see a man who told me all things. Could this be the Messiah? I think that I have encountered Jesus today. I hope when you leave here today, something that is said or done has caused you to encounter Jesus today. And not only you encounter Jesus, but if you get so full of that living water, you will go back to your village and say, let me tell you about a man that I encountered today. I think I have met the Messiah. And so Jesus was all about water. He stood up on the great day, the last day of the feast of the pouring out of the waters, the feast of the tabernacles, when they would get the drink offering out of the pool of Siloam, and they would come back with a big procession, and they would come back into the temple, and he would ascend, the priest would ascend to the platform, and they would pour out water, and they would pour out wine, and it would symbolize the outpouring of the water and of the Spirit that was to come. And Jesus stands up on that great day, the last day of the feast, and says, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For out of his innermost belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus said, if you really, they had poured out drink offerings over and over and over again, waiting for the one who was to come, and the Messiah, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus steps up and says, if any man's thirsty, let him come to me, signifying that the water truly had come. And when Jesus is pierced on the cross, water and blood pours out of the side of Jesus, symbolizing the outpouring of the water and the wine and the coming. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, but it's expedient that I go away, but I won't leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter, and I and my Father will come and will take up our abode in you. How many know Jesus was speaking of himself and also of the coming of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost in the same spot that Jesus said that and said, men and brethren, they're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. How many of Peter stood up on another day and said, you saw the water and now you see the wine. The coming of the Holy Spirit has come, and this is that. Now, they would take that drink of water from the pool of Siloam, and that was the pool that was found at the fountain gate, the gate that was restored by Nehemiah. Go ahead and bring me up my first couple of scriptures there, Lisa. I'll read them, and then I'll go on to John chapter 9. In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. How many know Jesus stood up in that day and there was a fountain that was open? Amen? Go ahead to the next one. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. How many know Jesus became our well of salvation? Amen. Revelations 22, what did I give you, 1 through 5? Okay, and he showed me a pure river, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. How many know we are those trees? Jesus is the tree. The tree of life. How many know the leaves of the tree of life are for the healing? You want to know what heals the nations? Jesus. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle nor light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Go to John chapter 9 with me this morning. We shared some of the things about what happened at that feast. So if you want to go back to last week's and look into that, you can. But I want to jump in kind of where we left off and go to John chapter 9, 1 through 25, I believe it is. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Everybody say, from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Everybody say, born blind. From his birth, born blind. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. How many know the question to the disciples was not, Master, can this man be made whole? Master, are you able to open blind eyes? Wasn't the question. Master, is today his day? Not the question. The question was, Master, who sinned? That this man was blind from birth, or that he was born blind, who sinned, him or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, how many know you cannot sin while you're still in utero? Everybody understand that, right? We're not born in sin in the sense that we were sinful people. Amen? What we're looking for is a reason for why this would be. And a lot of times what was happening, it was a sin consciousness to say, well, this must be the sin of that person, or this must be the judgment of God, or this must be God punishing me, or this must be a form of God's wrath. And Jesus responds to it and says, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which had before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. I want to stop there for just a moment. The man is brought to Jesus, and they said, the disciples and those who were there said, Lord, who sinned, this man or another, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, this is not about his sin, but it's about an opportunity for a miracle to happen, but that the gifts of God might be made manifest. And the scripture said that Jesus spit in the mud, in the clay, in the dust, and he formed a clay, and he took that clay and put it on the eyes of that man, and he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam that Nehemiah had reestablished and opened a gate to and made sure that the pool of Siloam existed. One of the things that I want you to get about this story is that Nehemiah built a pool way before a blind man ever needed to be healed. Come on, somebody. What we do now will make a difference in the generations to come, because somebody must already have the pool in operation before the blind man ever needs it. And I believe that God puts in place and establishes things today and in this season and this hour that we might not even see the purpose or the potential of. But I'm going to tell you, one day when Jesus speaks a word and says, go wash in that pool, that man was glad that somebody like Nehemiah had been obedient long time before and put in operation a word that was spoken and made preparation so that a blind man one day could find a pool that Nehemiah believed in. I want to challenge you this morning. It's not what you do for now, but it's what you put in place now. You might not know the relevance of it or the need of it, but one day somebody might stand up, and Jesus said, now I want you to go find the pool that Nehemiah instituted and made sure was available. And when you find it, there's a healing there for you. I mean, no, Nehemiah did not know the extent of the calling or the demand that was put on his life in that season, but there would come a day when a blind man would come back from that pool with his eyes open and say, I don't know how it happened, but somebody went ahead of me. Somebody laid some groundwork. Somebody made provision. Somebody funded it. Somebody worked in it. Somebody built it. But I'm a recipient of the work of some people who had vision to build a wall. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's powerful to me this morning. A powerful picture of what we do and what matters in the yet to come. Amen. But I love this story because Jesus comes along to this blind man who said, the scripture says he was a beggar, and he's looking for healing. And the disciples kind of pull him out and kind of draw him out. And the scripture that says that Jesus spits in the mud, and he makes a clay, and he takes that clay, and he puts it on the eyes of that young man. And how many know that when Jesus, you know, you think about that, and you think about when the very DNA of God hits the dust of the earth and your humanity and your flesh. How many know dust speaks of our flesh, of our humanity? We were created out of the dust. Out of the dust of the earth, man was created. But God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. How many know you're not just dust? You're not a dirt bag this morning. You're not just dust and dirt, because God breathed into you, and when he did, you became a living soul. Hallelujah. And he takes the very DNA. I mean, the most powerful DNA you can get is out of the mouth. And he takes the very DNA of God, and he mixes it with the dust and the clay with the blind man, and he puts it on the eyes of the blind man. And when the DNA of God matches and mixes with your humanity, how many know your eyes are open to who you really are, and not just to who you are, but to who he really is. Now, I love this. Jesus tells the blind man, he said, now go and wash in the Pool of Siloam. And I thought about this one day, and I thought about if I was to bring somebody up here, say it was Sabrina. I won't do it this morning, but if I was to bring her up here and I would say, now, Sabrina, I want you to close your eyes or put on a blindfold, and I want you to go get a drink out of that water fountain. How would she know, if she had never seen that water fountain, how to get there? The scripture tells us that this man is born blind. He's never seen the Pool of Siloam. Might have smelled it. Might have heard about it. Might have traveled with somebody else. I don't know. But Jesus tells this man, he said, I want you to go wash in the Pool of Siloam. And the scripture said that he went to the pool and he came again seeing. Now my question is this, how did he get there? In your blindness, how do you find a pool? In your drought, how do you find a fountain of life? In your state of beggarly conditions, how do you get to a pool that you've never seen? Anybody? Somebody's going to have to take you there. Somebody is going to have to take that man to a pool that he's never seen before. But if they do, when he gets there, his miracle is waiting. His miracle is waiting if somebody will join themselves to that man and say, hey, buddy, you might know where it's not know where it's at, but I've been there before. I know how to get there. Anybody ever been to a pool before and ever felt the refreshing of the Holy Spirit? Maybe somebody drug you there. Maybe somebody walked you there. Maybe you fell there by accident. I don't know how you got there, but somebody got a hold of me one day and took me to a pool I had never seen. And when I got there, my eyes were open to a miracle of what God wanted to do in my life. And I came again seeing. I came again with my eyes open to a new revelation, not only of who I was, but a revelation of who the Master was. How many know Jesus did not come to condemn that man for being blind? It had nothing to do with his sin. And we sometimes think that people go through things, what must be sin in my life. Can I just tell you that Jesus took your sins to the cross of Calvary? He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. God is not punishing you. God wants to speak life into you. He wants to send you to a pool of refreshing water that your eyes can be open to who he is, so that when you come back again, once my eyes are open, you are not going to close them. There's some things you just can't unsee. Amen? And so the man, it goes to the pool, and it never occurred to me for years, how does he get there? Surely somebody must have had to get him by the hand and say, I will take you to a place of healing. I will take you to a place of refreshing. I will take you to a pool of water. And when you do, when you encounter that man who stood up on that day and said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. If you ever encounter him, you will come away from that pool in a different state of mind, and your eyes will be opened to who he is, because he encountered. How many know he went there with mud on his face, dirt in his eyes, but the very DNA of God had touched him, and he came again seeing. How many know it was on the road to Damascus when Saul was going to persecute the church that the angel appears to him, knocks Saul off of his horse, and speaks to him and said, why do you kick against the pricks, Saul, Saul? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. And he blinds him for days, sends him down to the village he was going to arrest, and calls the people there to lay hands on him for his eyes to be opened. And they're like, say what? This is the man coming to arrest us for being Christians, followers of the cross. And he said, I'm going to tell you, lay hands on that man, because when you take him to the pool, his eyes are going to be open and he is going to come again seeing things that he'd never seen before, because I have blinded him to who he used to be and I am opening his eyes to who he is yet to be. And if you ever have your eyes open to who you are yet to be, you can't go back to what you used to see. You can't go back seeing like you used to see, because your eyes have now been opened to truth and reality. And so he goes to the pool and his eyes are open, and then he comes back, the scripture says, seeing. And they talk to him and they say, then said unto him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. I know not. Next verse. They brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime blind. So they take him to the religious church. And it was the Sabbath day. It's on the Sabbath day. Let me just pause for a moment. Jesus did most of his miracles on the Sabbath day. He got in most of his trouble on the Sabbath day, because he did not follow their Sabbath laws, their Sabbath rituals, and their traditions of men. Now, let me just submit to you this morning, the man who created the 7 days, the moon, the stars, the earth, all of that, he knows how to read a calendar. He knows what day of the week it is. Yeah. Amen? And so he comes, they come to them and said, where is this man? And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man's not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them, as there should be. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he opened thine eyes? He saith, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered him and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue, the church of the day. Therefore saith his parents, he's of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. There are some things you can't unsee. When they came back seeing to the synagogue, and it was the Sabbath day, they said, how did this happen? Tell us, what is this all about? What did this happen? He said, I don't really know. All I know that there was this man, a prophet, maybe Jesus. He put clay on my eyes, and he sent me to the pool of the Siloam to wash, and to be made whole. And when I came again seeing. And they had a dispute as to whether this man were a sinner or not. Now remember, the first part of this scripture starts out as to whether this man is a sinner or not. Now Jesus is in the spotlight for being a sinner or not. How many of you know there is a greater blindness in this story than the man who is born blind? Because he comes back to them, but because it is their Sabbath day, Jesus has broken the law of Sabbath. And I would have to go back and explain to you how strict the law of Sabbath was in that day. That you were not allowed to carry a piece of paper big enough to write a note on the Sabbath. Considered works. If a chicken laid an egg on the Sabbath, you couldn't eat it. There's a whole lot of Sabbath. And I don't say that to make fun or to be disrespectful in any way. It was a very strict, legalistic system of the day. Jesus comes in to set that man free. And they ask him who it is, and he tells them that it's Jesus, the prophet. And they said, that man couldn't have done it. He must be a sinner. Bring your son, let us talk to him. They talked to his parents and said, this is our son. He was born blind. How he's been made whole, we don't know. He's of age. Ask him. They bring him and ask him the questions, and he said, how he did it, whether or not he's a prophet or not, I don't know. But this one thing I know, that once I was blind, now I see. How many know Jesus opened the eyes of the blind man, and he dealt with the closed-eyed blindness of those of the day. But it says that his parents did not say who it was or what happened for fear of being put out of the synagogue. How many know your encounter with Jesus has to be more than about the church you go to? And I say that as your pastor. It has to be an encounter with the miracle-working power of Jesus, that when he opens your eyes, he not only spit in the clay, but he made a clay of the very DNA of God and applied it to the eyes of that blind man. And when the DNA of God touches your mind and your eyes and your sight, and you begin to see and encounter who he is, it does not matter what another church, a synagogue, another person, a neighbor, a friend, whoever has to say, because once you've been blind but now you see, it really don't matter how you got there, but I was blind and now I see, and I have encountered my greatest Sabbath today, because my Sabbaths to this point had been ones of blindness, but today I can see the man who is my Sabbath. Once I was blind, but now I see. Encounter with the presence of Jesus and having your eyes open to who he is. And if you are sitting here today and asking those questions, say, Lord, I need you to open my eyes to the reality of who you are. I want to see you in everything. I've been praying prayers this week over some people that prayer requests have been before me. And I'd say, Lord, I want you to show up in their dreams. I want you to show up in their car. I want you to show up on their job. I want you to show up in the grocery store. I want you to show up on their computer. I want you to show up in the radio. I want you to show up in every area of their life. Until they have such an encounter of you that they can no longer see darkness, but they can only see the light. Amen. And if there's somebody you're praying for that today, or if that is you today, how many know he has the ability to open your eyes to who he sees you as? And if we ever see ourselves as Jesus sees us, we'll see ourselves accepted, healed, alive, and not as sinners. How many know Jesus never viewed that man as a sinner? Never even asked him. You know why? Because the same power that's able to heal you is the same power that's able to save you. And if you ever encounter him, you ain't going to have to worry about whether you're saved or not or healed or not, because it comes as a package, and Jesus opens you up to who he is. And you see the Messiah, and you see life. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet with me this morning. One of the things that I want you to keep in mind in this sermon today, though, is Nehemiah built a pool and established the pool of Siloam and the fountain gate way before a man who was born blind ever needed it. You know, I've said this before, we don't wait. If you're going to play football, you don't wait till you get on the field to learn how to handle a football. If you're going to play baseball, you better be hitting some balls now. What you prep for now might not even be for you. See, what I build today, now, naturally, physically, and spiritually, might not even be for me, but it might be for the generations yet to come. I might not even know the purpose or the relevance of that pool, but that blind man did. How many know Jesus said that we are streams in the desert? We are a fountain sealed. He talks about the woman of, in the Song of Solomon. He says, you are a garden enclosed, my sister, my spouse, a fountain sealed, a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. But if you ever realize how much your beloved thinks of you, you will release that fountain out of you. And when it's not sealed up any longer, how many know it causes gardens to blossom? Do you know that when you encounter people, you are like a fountain and a breath of fresh air and a drink of cool water on a hot, thirsty day? That there is parched ground everywhere that just needs somebody who knows how to be a fountain, who knows how to be a spring, who knows how to be life-giving in every arena. Amen? Hallelujah. So I just want you to lift your hands this morning as Beth is singing. Let's just allow that water, the presence of the Holy Spirit, His water and the wine, Father, to fill our hearts and our minds, to be so saturated by You. Father, that our gates of our eyes are open to see You, to know You, to encounter You, Lord, and to come back and declare who You are. Father, to declare Your miracles, to declare life. Father, and to open the eyes of spiritual blindness, physical blindness, emotional blindness, Father, that You bring life out of death. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.